Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and fuck you, a boogie with the hoodie. And you too, P&B Rock. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex. Will B got jumped. There will be justice.
And...
I'm walking. What the fuck are y'all niggas thinking about jumping Little B?
Seriously, what the hell?
That, you do not fuck with the bass god, man. Sweat to the maximum. He will fuck on your bitch.
Bass god will put a curse on you like they kept Durant for 7 years.
And what's that, the fucking name? LeVar Ball, whatever.
Oh yeah, Lonzo Ball.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucking bullshit, man. Why would you fuck with Lil B right before a set, nigga? What the fuck?
You don't fuck with the bass god, man.
That's some fuckboy shit.
Abso-fucking-lutely. So, anyway, episode 56. How have things been going with y'all?
Well, I've had a tiring couple of days trying to catch up on stuff for the site, tearing my hair out, trying to do video editing, which has left me just a completely exhausted shell of a human being. Also, it's been raining. That makes me very tired.
Oh, hey, you rip your hair out, too?
Yes, it's oddly therapeutic.
I do it, but not out of stress or anything. I just have this tic where I need to run my fingers through my hair for reasons. I might be doing it right now and none of you would know.
Lovely.
Mark, what about you?
Let's see. I'm doing work. I think my back is hurting a couple of times. I'm still doing the right thing, even though I'm doing Word online because Microsoft Word kind of sucks. And since I can't do it on my other laptop, I got to do the online thing. It is slow. It don't respond that well.
One word. Open Office.
What's Open Office?
Never mind.
Well, excuse me for asking a question and expecting an answer. Rude.
I thought, how do you not know what OpenOffice.org is?
Because I just use regular office shit. What, do I have to know every computer software? Do I look like John?
You disappoint me sometimes.
Sometimes? Try always. That's my life goal.
Well, you're doing a very good job of that. Keep it up!
But speaking of disappointments, so who caught that live stream on Sunday?
Okay. Man.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening and may not have catched it, so to finally commemorate the 1 year anniversary of Surreal Resolution, approximately 1 month late, me and the dear old editor-in-chief Tyler got together for a little Twitch stream where he was playing the classic Super Mario 64 while I read excerpts of the classic literary masterpiece Francis of the Filth by George Miller. And then
it went as smoothly as you could expect it to go.
Which, by that, meant the connection managed to cut out like 3 times. Fucking peace lords.
And there was some guy in the chat who was just screaming about you wanting to read Sonic fanfiction for some reason.
Was it Booster Savage Kid or some shit?
Yeah.
Coming soon to the 2018 XXL freshman class.
Oh, damn.
But now, yeah, there was some fun Sonic fanfiction, but like, okay, if you see a stream that explicitly advertises Francis of the Filth, and you jump in asking a whole bunch of questions, why did you jump into that stream in the first place? I'm just saying.
People are weird. What do you expect?
Yes, yes, they are. But outside of that, there was another thing I did this past weekend. So I entered a giveaway on Metal Sucks to catch, for tickets to the current ongoing tour of Synthwave X, Dance with the Dead, and Ghost, spelled without an H. And it turns out I had won. I guess no one else really thought to enter for whatever reason. And, you know, I had my tickets for that night, although I had to go alone. I had for a plus one, but no one took me up on my offer because reasons. And so that was basically my Friday night. Not to mention being incredibly paranoid that because I wasn't giving in to the weird sort of digital parking payment meter thing that they do around that part of town, that I was probably going to get my car towed or something, which thankfully it didn't happen. But no, yeah, it was a pretty fun show. Ghost as one of the, like, real heavy hitters, and I mean, like, heavy in terms of hard-hitting synthwave, the guy knows how to put it on a fucking show. The whole time he was dressed in, like, some fucking black coat, and you could barely, you couldn't even see his fucking face. He might have had a mask on of some kind. And he had, like, his stage set up, sort of like he was delivering a satanic mass. It was, it was a spooky fun time. And then, of course, Dance with the Dead, the two guys came out, you know, fucking guitars blazing, synths blaring in the background, you know, throwing out all kinds of fun jams. Even a very synth-wavy version of Master of Puppets, just to spice things up.
Hmm.
Very good times. And then there was basically nothing else going on that weekend, except for the part where I finally finished up my review of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Spoiler, it's... whatever.
Go buy South Park instead.
Or, you know, this week there's Wolfenstein.
And Super Mario Odyssey.
But mostly Wolfenstein.
Yeah, I mean, there's also Assassin's Creed.
You know, I'm still trying to figure out how that series is still going on. Like, didn't the world fucking, like, end in a cataclysmic event after the third one? That's how I remember it.
It's Ubisoft.
Yeah,
there's your answer. It's Ubisoft.
Fine, I guess. I guess that's basically everything I have to say on my end. So, with that out of the way, let us get into the new song discussions for this past week or so. As always, there will be a link down in the playlist. There'll be a playlist, you know, down in the description if you want to follow along with us. You know, listen to all these great songs and then hear our opinions on them. And let's have Mark kick things off here. Mark, you have the floor.
Yes. So we got another So Bad But Not Good. They're back again. Okay. And they got another song for us to clap in with Future Islands frontman Samuel T. Heron, which I heard of him before. Did a new song called I Don't Know.
Wait, yeah, that's the title. What's it called?
It's called I Don't Know.
But that's what's the title. It called? I have it right here. Shouldn't you know it?
I'm gonna kill you. Okay. 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 Anyway, yes, it's another, you know, one of our bonus song that they just doing. They just fucking around, and I gotta say, I like the way the song starts off with had this, oh, like if. The music sounds like something you hear straight up from the '70s, from, you know, from the station, the singing, considering that Sam Tearing, he does sound like something. He does sound like either like a Bill Weathers, because I'm hearing him sing. It's like, holy shit, this is some very soulful singing I'm getting from him, and the instrumentation is so damn gorgeous, especially when I think it's the violin kicks in, it's very slow burn. And I am kind of emotional to hear this. Like it's very lovely.
Yeah, there's it's definitely those strings, like that lush, like it's, violins, yeah, of various other kinds that make it all pretty and seductive. And you know, it's a very solid kind of throwbacky 70s soul jam. Especially interesting, like, kind of how, like, the drums sort of pull back a bit. Like, they're not as densely packed as you would normally expect on a Bad, Bad, Not Good track. But it definitely helps sort of sell the emotion of it. You're feeling feelings, and those vocals are just so immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
So, that covers our first song. And now moving on to track number two. Now, this is a band I've brought up on a couple of the album roundups before, but this is the first time that we're discussing any of their tracks in a mainline episode. That is the Psychedelic Rockers from Australia, with the name that just ever so rolls off the tongue, the fine lads in King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Hmm. That name is so much fun. So, last we heard of these guys, they dropped a new album back in August, the third of five, supposedly, planned releases for the year of 2017. We still got, like, 2 months left to go, like, two in a week, basically, two and some change. And we know they're going to get to 4, but who knows if they're going to get to 5. But for now, we just have to wait for whenever this 4th one is going to come out, which I still don't have any information on a name and a release date, apart from like some fan rumors. But we do have the first song from this upcoming album, a 10-minute psychedelic opus called Crumbling Castle. And hoo boy, is this a trippy one. Basically, the entire thing is this kind of... It already starts off where, but this kind of... I guess depending on how you're counting it, either like a sort of 5-4 or like a 3-4, but like with the rhythm cut off a little short, with a lot of these trilling, like chorus-laden, trippy guitar leads that all like bounce off each other. Almost kind of like, imagine listening to the clean parts of any Metallica song while blazed off your ass. Like, that's the impression I'm sort of getting here with the guitar interplay and whatnot. The vocals, God, what was the guy's name? Stu McKenzie. Like, his vocal performances on this thing, they sway, like, all over the place between, like, a lot of loud, boisterous wailing and some more low-key, ominous, almost kind of like, you know, friggin' monk music whispering. And there's some nice touches as the song sways back and forth between, like, the verse and choruses, with, especially in the middle where there's this, like, accentuation of, like, flutes and bells. The synth break at about, like, 7 minutes, 45 seconds, which then quickly explodes into this psychedelically saturated oral nightmare. And no, not oral like the sex, you nasties. And even the last minute or so slows things down into a really, like, just wall of noise, kind of heavy Black Sabbath-ish type of thing. This thing is like a fucking journey, and I wish someone had some of the dank stuff to share with me while listening to it.
Yeah, well, I don't quite get these guys. I don't know if it was just because I've had like an off day or something, but I mean, I just really didn't have that much to say about this. I like the 70s prog rock vibe going on, but I don't know. I think I need to really get deeper into the King Gizzard backlog before I can find anything to say about this or these guys. But, you know, that's just me.
You should start with Murder of the Universe.
So they tell me.
But now, moving on to our next track, and this is something I'm surprised Alex didn't bring up at any point this past week, or maybe he brought it up on an older podcast recording, but it got lost. Endure, the solo project of Periphery frontman Spencer Sotelo, is dropping his debut album, American Parasite, this Friday, in fact. And we got a track called White Noise. You can probably guess what kind of song it is from that title, but you want to lead us in on this one?
Sure. Again, I don't have much to say about this, because the details are pretty simple. This is an industrial project, 16 years in the making from Spencer. Literally, it started back in 2001, and it's just now coming out, so you can imagine how long it's been in the works. The song itself is pretty good. The article which had this song playing on it said it had kind of a Nine Inch Nails industrial vibe to it, sort of mid-90s Nine Inch Nails, which I can see. Now, the pop-infused choruses of this song, you're either going to like it or you're going to not, but to me it gives the song a bit of a grooving pattern to it. It's kind of catchy, and the whole song reminds me of some of the stuff off of Periphery's Clear EP, like some of the grooves of Feed the Ground and The Parade of Ashes. That's the other one I was trying to think of.
Yeah, if I remember, Parade of Ashes was the one that Spencer had complete control over, right?
Mm-hmm, that was the one he wrote.
Yeah, as for this one, yeah, the industrial influences are strong. Listening to the percussion pattern specifically, I get kind of like a Godflesh vibe off of it, because it kind of reminds me of something off of, like, I believe the Pure album, basically. And, you know, there's some KMFDM type stuff in there with kind of the danceability of it. It's not bad, although, truth be told, I'd probably be more interested if this was just, like, straight industrial, maybe without the dance bits. But then again, it's Spencer. He kind of likes his gorgeous, catchy melodies and whatnot, so I can't really be surprised. Moving on to the next track. So it's been about a little over 2 years since the noise rock act Ken Mode released their 2015 record Success, which for me was a success of an album. Seriously, Ken Mode is fucking great. And now we got news that they're going to be hitting the studio in December to record a new album for sometime in 2018. But in the meantime, they've actually dropped a new single as part of Decibel Magazine's Flexi series that I guess they put out with each issue, or like every now and then, I guess. I haven't kept track of it.
And they're actual Flexi disc records, which is pretty cool.
Nice. This track is called Fractures in Adults, and like right away, just hitting you right away with that loud pounding, like tom pattern grooves, that thick slamming bass riff, the disorienting guitars that just gotta feel like they're gonna, like the guitar itself is gonna throw up on you at any fucking minute now, like a fucking wild night out of drinking. Just that whole heavy groove that's like maintained throughout the entire fucking thing with harsh, abrasive, like atonal vocals that are very, they're like shouted but also kind of spoken word at the same time, typical of like a lot of their recent albums. This thing is just wall to wall, just slamming against your senses, and it is a jam. Oh boy.
This is a brutal song to follow Spencer with. That first bar, that super heavy bass, it just growls like an angry beast ready to just maim and dismember and disembowel you.
That's basically the MO of Ken Mode, which is clearly the best mode. Now, moving on to the next song, and before we get into the details, I need to ask something of the panel here. Don't give away any details, I just want to ask, who actually listened to the whole thing? Be honest, I understand if you didn't.
I did not.
I didn't either.
Alright, I don't blame you guys, it is quite a mammoth offering, so if you're wondering what we're talking about here, we're of course talking about the past week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. This one coming from electronic, punk, / noise, just general, let's say Afrofuturist producer More Mother. And this one was a bit of a surprise one, because it really wasn't a track per se. See, what More Mother released through Adult Swim was the audio of her performance from the most recent installment of Moogfest. You know, that big electronic music festival.
Actually, it's pronounced Moogfest.
Huh. All right, then. Learn something new every day. Wait, does that mean I've been saying it wrong for like 5 fucking years?
Don't worry, I did too, but then I learned about Dr. Robert Moog and, well, the rest is history.
So, yes, what we have here, the proper title is Moogfest Durational Sound Installation. 3 hours.
Oh, fuck.
3 hours of audio for one single track.
Yeah. But to be fair, it's still a more engaging experience than the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman.
Good thing I just stuck with the theatrical version. And Redbox.
That was a terrible movie.
Yes. But yeah, I guess I'm the only one that listened to this entire thing. Obviously not in a complete unbroken shot. Like, I started at 3, and I... 3 o'clock on Sunday, I hit play on this thing, booted up the PS4 while playing some Amnesia, The Dark Descent, and basically finished by about 7, essentially. I want to say like 6:30 or so. I did take a couple breaks to, you know, poop, but I think it was only like 1 or 2 pauses total. And again, it's kind of hard to judge as a song since it's a mashup of a bunch of different things. Obviously, this is a set from a festival, but this thing is a journey. It's packed wall to wall with all kinds of, you know, sonic textures, weird percussive patterns, all kinds of rambling like vocal digressions. Hell, there's some breaks into like what's straight up just like these almost kind of jazz like breaks with like, you know, actual drums and these saxophones mixed in with kind of like the noisy synths just kind of like droning on and on at all like weird spaces. Just going on, it almost feels like every part is almost like 20 or 30 minutes long, like if you divide it up into chunks like that. But shit, I actually wasn't taking notes while listening to this thing. I was just kind of I was kind of listening to it like how you would if you were like actually there, just kind of trying to let the experience wash over me. But there is one part that does stand out to me, and it's the spoken word monologue near the end that I'm assuming is from Moor Mother herself, where she's more or less railing against, like, you know, capitalism and systemic inequality, all that, but in a way where she's like, she's criticizing the idea that every bad thing that must happen in American society is because of the devil. It's not because of, oh, it's not because of Carter or Reagan or systemic racism or capitalism. No, it was the devil. And it's this kind of, like, repeated, almost kind of glitchy, rambling, like, basically monologue that sounds really off, unnerving and kind of badass when pitted up against, like, the saturated, just synthesized walls of noise. So, for anybody out there that's got 3 hours to kill, shit, that's probably like the length of like one of the Lord of the Rings movies, just the theatrical cuts alone. But yeah, so, go ahead.
What I hear you saying is, much like a certain game coming out on Fridays, this is an odyssey.
Yes. Yes, it is. Plug, plug, plug. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spy Super Mario Odyssey. It looks so good. I played it the other day, and oh yeah. It's, oh yeah.
So this is just Moor Mother's Wild Ride, and if you got 3 hours to kill, then you might want to take the ticket. Or something. I think that's what that guy with the sunglasses and the hat said. But anyway, moving on. Did I mention that we read Phantasms of the Filth on a live stream?
Yeah, we did. Or you did, rather.
Well, you did.
But it turns out that wasn't the only George Miller-related thing to happen this past week related to us. It turns out that Mr. Joji has released a new song that's actually from an EP he's putting out next week, next Friday. It's called In Tongues, November 3rd, and the track is called Will He, which, it's about in line with what we've heard from, you know, Joji's solo music so far. It's got, like, this very depressive, haunting piano beat with maybe some mild touches of trap beats. You know, the vocal performance is very moody, again, low-key and soulful. And, of course, also the video is fucking weird as hell. I know that has nothing to do with the song, but Jesus Christ, that panda thing. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
George is serious, but Dark George is a being you just want to either leave the fuck alone or give a big hug to. I'm swaying towards the latter.
Well, I can say it's goddamn.
This is, you know, I almost want to imagine, like, obviously people, like, have sex to music all the time, but could you imagine someone throwing this on in the background, like, during, like, lovemaking, and then the chick's like, Who is this? This is very romantic. And then you tell him it's the same motherfucker who wrote Meme Machine. I'm a motherfucking meme machine.
Without not to mention, memes, not to mention, I not to mention, die. Not to mention, he also wrote,
I have a small dick. I have a small dick. If you're only 9 inches, you cannot flash your worth it.
I got my hand. Oh my god. And hey, I don't give a fuck. What you can't tell is that both of us are obviously big Filthy Frank fans.
Yes.
But yeah, good on Joji for embracing his more romantic side. Now, who knows how the EP will turn out? Well, we shall see. And now, we're going to have Mark take over this next song for us, so take it away, good man.
Okay, so Silk is. Stitch mentioned love making music. It's about No Worries, again.
Yeah.
So you remember last year they released their album Yes Loved.
No, you're saying it wrong. It's Yes Loud.
Oh, Yes Loud one year ago, and hey, both put on, like, I know got on my list, and you got on your, well, Rob's list. So they gotta do a remix album coming this November, and they released. The full single of the full remix of Best One, since they did release it earlier back, it was part of their music video for Scared Money, was their show at that last part. But yeah, anyway, it's the full track of the remix of this one. And we'll say like yesterday, because like the beat here is very different from the last one. This had this very, I don't want to say percussion. Well, should I say maybe? I think the feeling like the percussion is different from the last time. It, I do, I did, I did, as somebody who listened to this, that snippet a bunch of times, like, really, I listened to this song a bunch of times before the official one came out. Like, this just sounds, I'm actually liking this version of this better than the original one, which was good, which was good. I'm not saying this, but yeah, I'm actually liking, like, this, this is a very solid remix of a solid beat, you know, like, something like songs to the same with him talking about, you know, he found the best one for him, and you know, he don't lose that shit. So yeah, I came with listening to this remix album since I know this like I know like Stone Stone did the shit before with Mad Villain, but now it's like, damn, come to think of it, no worse is like if Mad Villain was R&B.
Pretty much. I don't really have anything else to add to this one, so let us move on to our friend, Mr. L'Orange, or L'Orange, however it's pronounced. I'm not fancy. So, L'Orange is set to release his latest full-length album, The Ordinary Man, this Friday, October 27th, and apparently it's a sort of concept album, I guess, about, like, a magician who becomes disillusioned with magic as, like, you know, a showman, like, commercialized show type of thing, so he decides to embrace, like, the dark arts or some shit to, you know, really impress the audience, which, now I think about it, wasn't this the plot of Little Witch Academia? Or at least, like, part of it, as far as I remember?
Mm.
Or, like, The Prestige? I don't know if anyone remembers that movie. But, anyway, so we got a new song from the album, you know, a nice little preview with the music video and everything, for a song called Blame the Author, which, of course, features the ever-so-wonderful Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Very much the funkiest of all the Homo Sapiens. And yeah, this one, this song is, you know, it's got some good stuff going on, that shuffling sort of ragtime piano beat going on, very much in line with this kind of thing. Del's, you know, rapping in particular, paints this really interesting picture of a, like, wizard who's very much disillusioned with the state of things and experimenting with dark magic. Hell, that's basically the video. This fucking, like, Geppetto-looking motherfucker who's, like, bringing robots to life and shit.
Yep. That's how I feel myself. There's some weird robo-Pinocchio shit going on. With Geppetto shit. You know what I'm getting at.
Yep. But yeah, like, overall, like, I'm kind of having difficulty remembering specific lyrics. I remember more, like, sort of plot motives and vibe. But this very much paints, like, a really cool picture. Like, I noticed L'Orange likes to attach himself to a lot of very narratively driven rap concepts. So this could be something pretty interesting. I mean, I still like that EP he did with Mr. Leaf a while back. So this might be another home run.
Yeah, got some good shit going on with this. It's good.
All right, so moving on from hip-hop and R&B type stuff to death metal. So, of course, we got Cannibal Corpse back in the hot seat, having dropped the title track and second single from their upcoming November 3rd release, Red Before Black, which isn't so much an album title as much as the creative process behind all their album covers. Seriously, it's like they don't know any other colors. But not yet. Whereas I really liked the prior single, Code of the Slashers, as a perfect example of just the chaotic nature of Cannibal Corpse's sound, this one feels a little bit more straightforward. I mean, it sort of thrashes along at a pretty steady pace, kind of this blasting, like, almost kind of D-beat-ish type of drum rhythm. The guitar grooves are pretty, you know, standard sort of deathy thrash type of stuff with the occasional, like, higher-pitched tremolo here and there. And then once it gets sort of into the back half, things switch up a little bit where the guitars are playing this riff that's continuously muddied in sort of the low end of, like, the frets and the mix and whatnot. And, of course, there's the occasional rhythmic punctuation from the drums, especially in these little sort of brief triplet groove things. But overall, it doesn't go as all over the place as Code of the Slashers did. This one keeps things more steady and consistent. So, I mean, I like it, but it obviously didn't hold a candle to that first single.
Yeah, it's a very solid thrasher. And say, when did my fists get taped up and get glass shards glued onto them?
I don't know, man.
That's what the song did to me. It made me ready for a Taipei death match.
Yeah,
but in all seriousness, yeah, this song actually reminds me a bit of some of the heavier riffs off of BT Bam's Colors album. It has that same kind of fast groove and flow. I don't know. Did you hear any of that?
I could see that. I mean, I'm pretty sure BT Bam. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they had influences of Cannibal Corpse in there. So, you know.
Well, yeah, especially off of Colors.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Why the hell did I have to be so broke that I couldn't afford to see the 10-year anniversary tour? God damn it.
Now you know how I feel.
Oh, well, at least I'll be seeing Devin Townsend in December, so that counts for something. So, moving on. Now, Maroon 5.
oh, great.
Speaking of November 3rd releases, they're dropping their latest album next Friday, titled Red Pill Blues. And we got a new single from the album featuring A$AP Rocky called Whiskey. And to prepare for this one, I'll bust out, you guessed it, Bacardi Vodka. This thing is just like... I don't know, man. I'm so beyond being invested in being angry at Maroon 5 at this point, because they're basically just jogging in place. The beat is just your typical boring sort of pop R&B type thing with fucking the fucking Aflac duck that is Adam Levine singing, like, how he's in love with this girl that left an impression on him. I guess he must have forgot about her or some shit. And then he, like, wants her to kiss him like whiskey, a metaphor which makes no goddamn sense. And there's the obligatory rant verse where, okay, to be a tiny bit fair here, at least A$AP Rocky kinda tries to be clever with the alcohol metaphors, but it's not anywhere near enough to save this from being just a 2 out of 5.
So, once again, another Maroon 5 track that features either a rapper or anybody he can get, somebody who's black.
Who is asking for this?
I don't fucking know. Why didn't they have Red Pill Blues?
Because, you know, beta males.
Which is kind of funny, considering that if you really wanted to take it as far as it goes, Adam Levine basically is one. I mean, hell, why do you think he's bringing in so many features? Because he knows he can't carry an album on his own. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But now...
Oh boy. Another November release. Maybe this next track will... Oh, shit.
Yeah, it looks like we have to close out once again for the third episode in the past couple of months with good old T-Swizzle, Taylor Swift's reputation. At least we got another fucking couple of weeks to go until this bullshit. And we got the third single, Gorgeous, which... Okay, of the three... This one is technically the most competent, air quotes. I mean, immediately there's nothing offensively terrible at it. Like, the beats, at least it actually has one that, to be fair, is actually, like, kind of trying. It's actually this kind of sort of tropical, futurist pop type of thing that's way more interesting than the basic non-beats of, like, Look What You Made Me Do and Ready For It. And I guess lyrically, it's sort of training on just the typical, oh, she's, I guess, in love with this guy that, I don't know, she maybe ruined her chances to get with him one too many times, but she's still obsessed with the idea or something. If nothing else, at least it's not as try-hardy as the past two songs. But then again, everything I'm saying here, whatever positives I'm saying here is more or less grading on a curve, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, but, yeah, I echo that sentiment. This is... probably by default, the most competently put together single of them all. I mean, the melody's fine, the lyrical flow is all right, but sounds kind of stock to me. Get out of here, Lars. What are you doing here? That was my attempt at humor. You're welcome.
Of course.
Humor with a U, mind you.
So basically, not funny.
Exactly.
It's one of the British ever funny. But I guess unless anyone else has anything else to add, that I guess will be the end of it.
Yeah, pretty much like, oh yeah, it's a Taylor Swift song, I don't care, blah blah blah. It's, at least it's not as terrible as the other two songs, but then again, I'm listening to that shit, so blah blah blah, yeah, it's whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, so we close out with a whimper. That basically ends all the new song discussion for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got a couple of topics to discuss, so don't turn that dial, kids. And we're back. So we only really have two topics of discussion this week, one being a news one, and the other just being festive for the season. But first, the news. So obviously, there's been a lot of changes in the past decade or so with regards to how Billboard measures the popularity and success of, you know, charting songs and songs that theoretically could chart. Obviously, with the rise of on-demand streams and, you know, program stuff like Pandora and all that, with stuff like CDs and digital download singles almost playing second nature to streams, they've had to, like, rework their metrics and shit. And this past week, there was a pretty big, interesting announcement on the part of Billboard in regards to how they're going to switch up their metric to better reflect, you know, what people are listening to in 2018. Or, you know, let's see what they actually had to say here. So, as they put it themselves, currently Billboard has two defined types of streaming plays for the Hot 100 song charts and other hybrid songs charts. There's the on-demand, such as Amazon Music, Apple Music, Spotify and shit, and programmed, such as Pandora or any other sort of like radio type thing. And, you know, of course there's other factors to consider, like whether it's a paid or like an ad-supported platform, all that shit. But as they say, beginning in 2018, plays occurring on paid subscription-based services or on the paid subscription tiers of hybrid, paid/ad-supported platforms will be given more weight in chart calculations than those plays on pure ad-supported services or on the non-paid tiers of hybrid, paid/ad-supported services. All right, so let's try to break this down like in simple terms, as simple as we can. So, Alex, you use Apple Music, correct?
Yes, I do.
And you use the paid tier of it, I assume.
There's only one tier. It's paid, so yes, obviously.
Ah, I thought that was Tidal that only had the paid thing. But yeah, so in this scenario, him who uses Apple Music and me who just uses Spotify Free, because I, you know, haven't been able to pay for the damn thing in a while, but I should be able to soon. In the grand scheme of things, Alex has more, let's say, buying power in determining what theoretically could hit any Billboard chart. The Hot 100, the Album 200, presumably any of the genre charts and all that. He has more power to determine what could chart on there, even if he doesn't listen to stuff that, you know, would fit the model necessarily, than someone like...
Which I don't.
Than someone like me, who just kind of sticks his fingers all over the fucking place with his Spotify usage, basically. And doubly so when you consider that, okay, so obviously if you're paying for like Spotify or Apple Music, you have more power than something like, say, YouTube, which is interesting because YouTube has arguably the largest, well, not arguably, they just do have the largest audience of any service that could be used to stream music. So if it's pure just ad-supported, as they say, well, many YouTube plays on a viral video, say, let's say a video gets, I don't know, 35 million views. Will that count less than, like, a song that has, like, 5 or maybe, like, 10 million plays from paying users on Spotify? Or would that, like, find some weird way to even out what the whatever the fucking math is here?
Math is hard, especially when you're trying to factor in metrics and algorithms and crap.
Yeah, but I'm curious if at all this will change anything. Because remember, like, when you see a lot of what hits the charts nowadays, you know, you have your Cardi B's, your Logic's, your friggin', God, what was the other one? That Post Malone Future thing. These are guys that, in the grand scheme of things, only really get popular because of streaming. And so you had to consider whether they're getting all their streams off of YouTube or something like Spotify, which I'm pretty sure there's numbers out there to support one or the other. But if someone's like a big like YouTube sensation, but maybe they don't get as many plays on Spotify, is that still going to like bolster their popularity on the charts, or is something going to screw them over in the end?
Well, how I'm looking at this is it'll probably be a blend of whatever data they get from services like Apple and Amazon and SoundCloud and Spotify with, you know, things like Vevo and YouTube and all these other services. And I don't know if they're just going to do like the law of averages, but I think there will be some kind of unified metric into how all these services will combine and give a better scope of a song's charting power.
That makes sense. Plus, I don't think it mentions anywhere here how YouTube Red would factor into this.
That's just complicating things even further.
But, you know, there could be some interesting things happening with the 2018 charts, or who knows, maybe things will just stay the same, and we'll have to deal with, I don't know, Cardi B featuring XXXTentacion. Mark's not saying anything, but I can feel him just grinding his teeth with rage at the suggestion of that.
Well, she's on a song featuring A$AP Rocky and G-Eazy.
Ew.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Bodak Yellow was a fluke then. But that's basically the only big news topic. So, with our other topic, since this is very likely the last Despa boost that's going to be released within the month of October. Seriously, like, again, we record on Mondays. I usually try to release by Wednesday or so, or late Tuesday night. But, like, the fact that we are last Tuesday of the month is Halloween directly. More than likely, you'll be hearing that week's episode on November 1st. Why does time have to be like that? Time sucks.
I don't know. Time fucks you over.
But anyway, so we're going to leave you with a little bit of a special discussion here, and that is our favorite spooky jams. What is the music that we like to jam during the October, you know, month that gets us in the mood for all the spooky shenanigans and gives us a break from all the lame-ass amateur Let's Players who think a Five Nights at Freddy's Let's Play is fucking deep and interesting as hell?
Oh, man. He used to play that game?
Probably. I don't fucking know. I don't pay attention to streams much, but
yeah, they've all moved on to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or whatever the hell they're doing nowadays.
Oh, is that what PUBG stands for?
Yeah.
Alright. I still don't know what that actually is in practice, but whatever. So
that was the game that PewDiePie was playing when he got caught saying the N-word.
Oh.
But let's move on to stuff that's actually terrifying instead of just cringy and unnerving. So for this, I'm actually going to let Alex go first here. Hit us with some spoop jams of all kinds.
Okay. Well, first I'll preface this with a tale from my youth growing up in California. See, back in elementary school, well, my elementary school anyway, we would do a thing every week where all the kids would just gather in the, what we called multi-purpose room, but really it was a gym with a cafeteria built in. It was kind of, yeah, but one such thing that we did during that time was we sang songs, which if you look at it nowadays, it's kind of creepy, like a bunch of eight, 9-year-old kids singing songs to a projector screen.
Isn't that basically just Children of the Corn?
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's why it's scary. And we, every Halloween time, would end up singing Halloween rewritten songs. Like, certain songs would be rewritten into Halloween themes, along with stuff like the Ghostbusters theme, and I don't think we ever sang Thriller, although that would have been nice. But if you want a scary image, just imagine 100 friggin' 8-9-year-olds singing along to terrible Halloween covers. Well, like Children of the Corn.
Well, oh, I mean, boy. 100, like, 8 or 9 year olds is already terrifying, because that means I have to censor my language.
Yeah, so that's scary enough for you, but moving along. Nowadays, I'm more accustomed to, well, obviously, metal, and when it comes to Halloween-themed music, nothing scarier than, well, I mean, Slayer comes to mind, Raining Blood. I mean, that's probably the blast of trick-or-treaters, right?
Yep.
Good, I've been doing it right then. But as far as, say, the more gimmicky Halloween music comes, I'm not all that into that kind of stuff. I'll tolerate, like, the Ghostbusters theme, and I'll jam Thriller any day of the week. But I like to keep my Halloween-themed music, well, normal. Like Slayer. Maybe Cannibal Corpse. Maybe some strapping if I'm feeling extra, extra mean. Harvey or man clip.
References.
Yes. Yes, indeed. That's all I got.
Okay, now for me, my answer sort of varies here. Like, obviously, like, the most obvious answer I could give here would be the soundtracks to Silent Hills 1, 2, and 3. Those are fucking eternal classics of just the October mood. Especially those, like, sort of alt-rockish opening themes. Especially the one for 3, which I'm still convinced is basically just a straight rip of U2's New Year's Day. Seriously, listen to it. It's the same goddamn chord progression and everything. And what else? Were there any other horror game soundtracks? I mean, maybe some of the Resident Evil ones, although those are really more pulse-pounding thrillers than necessarily seeping under your skin or anything. Of course, there's, if I'm feeling just a corny kind of spooktastic, I could always throw on some Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson. Like just stuff for when you want to have, like, a corny, grindhouse-y fun time. There's, of course, a lot of the really violent stuff, you know, a lot of death metal, some droning, sludge, doom noise. Like, I sort of think of this, at least for October jams, just in terms of maybe not explicitly Halloween themed, but just what sort of reflects the mood of the month for me. So, obviously, lots of Cannibal Corpse, obviously. Some Black Dahlia Murder. Stuff like Sun O. Yeah, I know. It's pronounced Sun. No, they have the O there. It's Sun O, bastards. But yeah, like Drone, like, you know, them, some of the heavier Boris albums, like, especially the one they came out with recently, Deer, I believe. Hopefully I'm remembering that name right. They have a lot of fucking album titles. But yeah, stuff like that. One that I was actually listening to earlier today, the new Primitive Man album, Caustic, which is an hour and 17 minutes of just pure, sense-assaulting, nihilistic sludge doom that just kind of feels like it reflects a sort of sense of hopelessness. So if you're looking for something, maybe like an October-esque album that's more cerebral than just like the cheap jump scare or a bloody, like, slash to the throat. Of course, occasionally, you know, listening to the scores of John Carpenter films, you know, those are all classics, and I still haven't heard that anthology album he put out recently, but I'll have to check that out, especially the greatest score of all time, Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. I don't know if that's controversial to say, but I think that's the best score of the 3 good Halloween movies, so take that for what you will. Would there be anything else off the top of my head? No, I think that basically just about covers everything. I also do occasionally bump some noise, like, you know, obviously a lot of the really industrial, harsh, grainy type of stuff, like your Murzbow, your Full of Hell, The Body, stuff like that. And especially if you want a recent thing, like at least from this year that you could sink your teeth into, I would recommend the new Pharmakon album, Contact, just taking it back to sort of like Silent Hill influenced noise. If you need that to sort of get you in the headspace for enjoying the month, that's really good. And yeah, I think that basically covers just about everything for me. Now, let's move on to our boy Mark, who I'm interested to hear what he has to say. He probably has the most unique answers out of all of us, coming from a different musical frame of reference.
All right. Yeah, so, it was a remember, like, any, like, I thought I remember some, like, mostly hip-hop songs I got that have some, horror elements to it. Cause usually, like, I don't see much, at least from what I heard, but I did find some songs I'm listening to when I was younger and thinking, wow, this song probably in October, which, yeah, this sounds scary as shit. Like, okay, I remember, these are three tracks off the top of my head. Like, yeah, like, I remember watching the music video for Tupac's Hail Mary, which, if these guys in the house, they're still like, yeah, the guys in the house, you know, is all creepy and shit, all foggy and night, and a bunch of shit happened, like, it's raining, is these guys just playing some games, all that shit, and I always remember that one guy got Shane Lift falling down, killing him, I think, and then another guy that was, in the pool got electrocuted, which that'd be some fucked up shit. Well, more, you know, more scary footage as in, like, yeah, that'd be a fucked up way to die.
Damn.
Yeah, that, and I remember this one song from EPMD that's Eric Sermon and the other guy, Parrish Smith. They did a song called 72,000. I remember the music video, which features a lot of references, a lot of horror movie references, like, I remember there being either a Michael Myers, like something like Michael Myers or Jason, I think it's that. Then there's one verse from The Shining, which Redman did the whole "Here's Johnny," and then, you know, he starts spitting Method Man, and then did this rapper named Lady Luck, who we had the whole scene from Carrie, which she got the prong, you know, she got to be prong queen, and then, you know, pig's blood came falling out, and was like, okay, oh shit, that'd be going to give your kids a nightmare, because in effect, the whole time, like, it was about the man telling this kid a horror story, and you're like, man, you took your kid that shit, he'll have nightmares for days.
Damn right.
And then one more track, and I remember the song very well. Like, so this old group called the Ghetto Boys. We got rapper Scarface and Willie D and Bushwick Bill. Yes, that's a name, Bushwick Bill. Which did sound like you know, the most horrific thing of all, rappers and, well, mental shows of the gangster lifestyle, and how you think, you know, like, so like if Perfect Blue but for rappers, but not like that, you think it'd be like, oh, some motherfucker trying to shoot me, oh shit, then you think there's no one there, you think you're going paranoid, you think you're going paranoid, you looking like you might do some shit that might get you caught, that might get you caught or looking bad, you might harm somebody that didn't deserve it. Like, that's some shit, like some gangsters tend to think when they're during the streets, especially this last, like it was close to Halloween, it was dark as fuck on these streets, my hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete, goddamn, homie, my mom's playing tricks on me, which I gotta say that got a nice sample from Isaac Hayes song, which, damn, that was like almost 26 years ago.
That's a long time, man.
So yeah, that's the songs, like, yeah, that song I got on top of my head. I do remember like some Halloween, like some Halloween stuff here and there, but yeah, that's all I got.
You know, interestingly, I'm surprised you didn't bring up any of Captain Murphy's singles.
Uh, oh, Oh shit, that's right.
I almost brought it up during my thing, but I thought, hey, you know, Mark's gonna bring it up. That's some good. Like, that is explicitly horror rap right there.
Oh yeah, that's right. That slipped my mind for a minute there. I was even thinking, what should I remember that's more horror? I should have added him to the list. But Captain Murphy, Flying Lotus, he do some weird shit there too. Like, that is his, you know, his motif and more, and you know it, what he does. Cosplay like shit in there at the, and or what's the other one? Shit, what's that one from last year?
Crown.
Crown.
Yeah, that one with the Hitchcock motif. But yeah, there was actually one thing I forgot to bring up on my end. So obviously a lot of synthwave, you know, if to take it back to John Carpenter for a second, every electronic artist that owes a debt to his production style. And one in particular, this album by this not as celebrated producer, but definitely one of the best in the game right now, a producer named VHS Glitch, who once released an album that is as explicitly John Carpenter influenced as it gets, a sort of concept release called Halloween Strangers, which the story of it, which I don't know how you get a story with a pure instrumental, but it's so good musically that you can sort of picture it in your head while listening, is basically like these three kids who are always like outcasts or bullied during like, you know, their childhood, and their favorite time of year was Halloween. And so one night, when they're all grown up, they decide that they're going to take their bloody revenge on the town that bullied them during their favorite time of the year. Yeah, it's one of those albums. That is as explicit of John Carpenter worship as you can get, and it's fucking great. So yeah, if you never heard of VHS Glitch before, that's a good place to start, I think. Just let it wash over you for the spooky October motifs. And yeah, I think that's about it. So now you got some interesting suggestions for stuff to get you in the mood for the rest of the month if you haven't put together your spooptastic playlist yet. So now there's one last thing to take care of, and that is, of course, the new album releases for October 27th, 2017. Starting from the top, we have the newest album from deathcore act Winds of Plague with Blood of My Enemy. Of course, wait, are these guys still around? Fucking Hollywood Undead, seriously? I thought we all forgot about them in middle school.
Who knew?
But yeah, they're coming out with a new album titled 5, Roman numerals. Of course, as previously mentioned, Endure's debut album, American Parasite. Theory of a Dead Man with Wake Up Call. Ugh. We got the latest studio album from rapper Yo Gotti with I Still Am. We got a new release from country rapper Yellow Wolf with Trial by Fire. A new release from Big Crit with Foeva is a Mighty Long Time. Of course, as previously mentioned, the new LaRange album, The Ordinary Man. The newest album from grindcore supergroup All Pigs Must Die with Hostage Animal. The latest release from a band that, for some reason, I always forget they exist, even though they're pretty good. 10 Years with their newest album, How to Live as Ghosts. Of course, the return of Australian prog metal titans Ne Obliviscaris with Urn. We got a new album from Kelly Clarkson, of all people, with Meaning of Life. The return of Ty Dolla $ign with Beach House 3. And last, but certainly not least, the return of alt-rockers Weezer with Pacific Daydream. And that basically covers the new album. So now it's time to just clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Aura of Azure, literally everywhere. Now including Western Union Telegram.
Mark, what about you?
Of course, Matt Tavern Media on Twitter and Curious Cat, and on my site, the Mountain Hybrid One at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. I got some shit coming soon, as you can tell from my latest tweet, so yeah.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have questions, comments, concerns, and memes. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. Audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday, but not on my YouTube channel. It will be going up on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution, which, you know, you can find by searching Surreal Resolution on YouTube. Subscribe and hit the bell tab so you can always be notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. Of course, be sure to check us out on the main site, www.surrealresolution.com. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo, and check the podcast out on some subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com, where you can check us out as well as a lot of our other great podcasts. You know, if you like gaming, Training Stage, movies, Salty Flakes, anime, podcast ONA. Listen to all that. Check out our written articles as well. Hopefully the Marvel vs. Capcom review will be up soon. Dang it, Tyler, I'm telling you, you gotta hurry up with this shit, man. I'll hopefully be getting a couple more album reviews in the past week. I know it's been like a month since the last one, but, you know, maybe Weezer will provide some good review material. Check out the rest of our great written content. Check us out on Twitch, where we're going to be having streams basically every single day. Game streams, podcast blog streams, and I might be streaming Wolfenstein this weekend. We shall see. Be sure to check us out on Discord for all kinds of updates and to just fucking interact with us. And as always, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll about do it for this week's episode of the podcast. Thank you all for listening, and until the next time, seriously, A Boogie, you better hope I don't find you. What?